And a warning that our next story contains some very distressing content. There's been an outpouring of grief and anger at the horrific deaths of a Brisbane woman and her three children, believed to be at the hands of her estranged husband. 31-year-old Hannah Baxter was leaving home for the morning school run when, according to witnesses, Rowan Baxter doused the car in petrol and set it alight. He also died in the suspected murder-suicide. Queensland police are appealing for those with knowledge of the couple's relationship to contact police. Detective Inspector Mark Thompson has confirmed police had engaged with the couple on domestic violence issues.
Queensland police have engaged with both Hannah and her estranged husband in relation to domestic violence issues. And we've also engaged with both of the parties referring them to support services. When it comes to Hannah, we have dealt with her on a number of occasions. We have actively worked with the Brisbane Domestic Violence Centre in supporting Hannah throughout her family issues. And we've also referred Rowan Baxter to support services as well.
The Prime Minister has described the incident as a terrible horror.
Is there anyone out there who needs help? Get help. There are services and supports available to you to help you. And if you're in a position to help, then please help. But today, Australians, just look at each other and give thanks for each other. And in this terrible, awful event, our hearts are just full of grief. Look, today, honestly, I'm just so saddened by these terrible events. Just so saddened by these terrible events.
That's the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, there. The big question is that enough? So far today, police in Australia would have dealt with, on average, 552 domestic violence matters. Just think about that figure. Phil Cleary is a long-time campaigner against domestic violence and joins us now. Phil Cleary, welcome.
Thanks, Patricia.
This has been a shocking case, difficult to talk about, I've got to say, and I know it's difficult for many of our listeners right now too. As we just heard, authorities did know the family. What do you make of that revelation?
It's outrageous. It's so distressing. You know, I've lived with murder. I saw the body of my dead sister murdered by a man in a street as she parked her car for work. I saw the courts expunge him of his guilt. I've seen the media narrative over 30 years get it wrong. Today I hear the Prime Minister not once utter the word murder of a woman, not once say that the killing of women by men at the rate of 60 a year, invariably in the context of separation, is outrageous and we want to stop this form of terror. If that had been a terrorist killing people, we would have said we are not going to bow to terrorism. But we can't say that when it's men killing women because of the politics of it, because it affects half of the population, men. I'm a bloke. I'm outraged that this man, this cowardly man, is able to walk through intervention orders. The police knew about him. He had kidnapped one of the daughters. I believe that's true.
Well, the police wouldn't confirm that element, but they did confirm the domestic violence. And I think the Prime Minister did also use the word murder, but does that change anything?
No, because he didn't talk about men's violence. And I hear the police now talking about the question. I heard just heard that introduction. They engaged with the couple over domestic violence incidents or words to that effect. Are they suggesting that Hannah was responsible for acts of domestic violence? We know the facts of these matters, Patricia. In these circumstances, it is the woman who is cowering on the end of domestic violence from a man. She ran to her parents. She is like so many women whose lives I've studied and women I've talked to who go to the police. Can anyone believe that no one decided to take action against this man? And now I read, is it true? Police are looking into whether he had a mental breakdown in the days leading up to the event. Are we now going to imply yet again that this is a case of a man in crisis, a man with mental health issues, when we know what the truth is? This is a man whose problem is that he cannot accept a woman asserting her independence and leaving him because of his abusive behaviour. It is, t- time we are candid about the reality. The facts don't lie.
And I did mention quite deliberately at the beginning here too that police in Australia would have dealt with 553 yes. domestic violence matters. This is an incredibly horrendous, violent, awful act, but there are other people who've been the subject of this. You mentioned that the media narrative over the last period of time. Do you now see a shift? Has something changed? I recall, and I've been around a long time too, I reckon 10, 20 years ago, a prime minister wouldn't have even stood up and talked about a case like this. Something has shifted, hasn't it?
Oh, fair call. Yes. Every politician now knows they must comment on matters like this. The media is engulfed. Everyone wants to discuss it. We have moved on, Patricia. There's no doubt about that. You don't solve a problem until you know you've got one. We know we've got a problem. The fact that we spontaneously react passionately, intellectually to the question is critical, and it shows that we are concerned. You know, it's not for you necessarily in your position to be critiquing the Prime Minister, but I'm a former Member of Parliament, and I'm saying that I'm not comfortable with the response, even though it's better than maybe what we had 30 years ago. As far as the media coverage, yes, you could wind the clock back. I could give you a chapter and verse on headlines. A man shoots his wife dead back in 1987, same time as my sister. Love pulls the trigger. These were the sort of headlines. But what we've got now is not as bad as that, but we keep talking today as if a man died in an inferno when everyone knew what was really behind this. And we've got to talk straight about this. This is a murderous act by a man who cannot accept a woman leaving him. But, you know, every murder of the 60 women a year in Australia is in similar circumstances. So I say to the men of Australia, what's actually going on in modernity? What is it about modern men that they have an underbelly of men who cannot accept women's independence? This is the big question for us at this point in time.
And in terms of the protection of women who have gone to police, the police have confirmed, as I made clear, that they were known to the police. There was domestic violence that this woman had endured. So given that history, that this is a live issue that the police are aware of, she couldn't be kept safe.
Get serious, I say to the state. Get serious to the police. I could take you to Fiona Varzavoda in 2014, who went to the magistrates' court and went to the family court and told people in the court she was terrified of her estranged husband. She walked out onto the street, Patricia, he stabbed her to death. And I said to the prosecutor at the time, I said, why did no one protect Fiona? Oh, you can't protect everyone, someone had said to me. Well, really, let's make a try. Let's attempt to do it. We look at the circumstances of Hannah's life. She told everyone she was scared. Everyone knew. Her family knew. The police knew. Are we saying that is the best we can do? That we can't put an alert on this man? Oh, seriously. You know, we have got it so wrong. And I'm at a point where I've talked about the narrative. I've talked about the excuses over the years. But I get to the point where I say, I just want to save women from men like him. How could he get away with it? How could this civilized society not have strategies in place to save this poor woman and her children? It's horrific.
We have men's anti-violence programs. As was revealed, this couple was known to the police. These programs, I mean, we cannot, and I want to be really clear about this, we cannot know all the details of this case, and I think it would be irresponsible to comment without the details, but do you think broadly these men's anti-violence programs are working?
No, and most people will tell you. Men just step their way through those particular procedures. You know, Adrian Bailey did it down in Melbourne before he killed Jill Maher. Men do it all the time. You know, I've reached a point where I don't actually think that those kind of men can be changed. I don't mind us trying to deal with them, but I don't believe we can change them. This man is driven by the belief that the woman in his life and the children are his possessions. That is the underlying theme of a patriarchal society, and we've got to deal with that. That's why I say I'm critical of the Prime Minister, because he should confront that publicly. That would help change the attitudes. The bigger challenge for us is to attack those attitudes, to change those attitudes, and to put in place strategies that protect women. Do we think that this bloke could have gone to some counselling, rung up a helpline, and actually adopted a different attitude? I don't believe so. I just do not believe so. Not at all do I believe that. We're at a point now where we've got to, of course, have all the educational strategies in place. Everywhere we go in our sporting clubs, let's talk it up. Let's talk about gender equality. Let's talk about this ownership principle that drives so many men. But, gee, we've got to have strategies in place. Police have to be on the front line now. This case has got to draw a proper investigation into how we did not solve this problem.
Phil Cleary, many thanks for joining us tonight. It's not a topic that I wish we didn't have to talk about, but I think we have to talk about it a lot more, it seems. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Phil Cleary is a long-time campaigner against domestic violence. And if this story has raised any issues for you, and if you look at the statistics, I reckon there are many people who listen and in the community who it does raise issues for. The facts are what they are. These are the numbers. It's 1-800-RESPECT or Lifeline on 13 11 14. I'm going to repeat the numbers, which I don't always do, but I actually really think that this is an issue that reverberates because so many people are survivors or victims. 1-800-RESPECT or Lifeline 13 11 14.